This morning we're going to look at question and answer one. Doug, I'm going to have a conversation with Doug about that, and you're going to hear it for just a couple of minutes. And it's an important conversation that we're going to have about it. And then we'll also reflect on Psalm 23 as we enter into the season of Lent, and I'll share some things that I have learned about Psalm 23 and about our Good Shepherd, and tie that into the ministry that Doug is going to continue doing, but also ministry that I'm involved in. But before we do this, let's go to God in prayer. Our good and gracious God, thank you for the freedom we have to come and to worship you, to sing praises to your holy name. Thank you that we can do this without fear of persecution and of attack. Thank you, O Lord, for the catechism written just a few years ago. Thank you that we can read a portion of that. Thank you for those that crafted it, the questions and the answers that help us to understand our faith and our understanding of the Scripture and what we believe as Christian Reformed people. Thank you also for your word. Thank you for your servant David, who penned the words that we will read shortly, words that we know so well so long ago. Thank you for the pictures that he crafted in this wonderful Psalm 23, pictures that remind us of your faithfulness and of your hand of guidance as you bring us through life, but also through death into eternal life. Bless us as we listen. Open our ears and our hearts. Open our minds. Help us to receive and to understand your words spoken to us through your servant. This we pray in Jesus' name, and all of God's children say, Amen. Most of us know question and answer one quite well. The words will be up on the screen, I believe. I'll ask a question, and let's respond together with the words of the answer. What is your only comfort in life and in death? That I am not my own, but belong body and soul, both in life and in death, to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. He has fully paid for all my sins with his precious blood, and has set me free from the devil. He also preserves me in such a way that without my will of my Heavenly Father, not a hair can fall from my head. Indeed, all things must work together for my salvation. Therefore, by his Holy Spirit, he also assures me of eternal life and makes me heartily willing and ready from now on to live for him. So, Doug, this question answer one is important to you. You spoke about it and have probably preached on it. You did your catechism long ago and probably memorized it. Maybe you didn't. But it's something that is it's within you. Now, question answer one is it's one of these beautiful ones that we turn to in all kinds of things of life. But the opening line of that answer, I am not my own. As a minister of the word, that rings true for us. We are not our own. Because we've entered into a lifestyle where we live in a bubble. We live in a fishbowl. People always look in and examine what we're doing. They watch our actions, they listen to our words, and those things play out in everything. Everywhere we go, we're the pastor, the domine, the minister. And so people watch, and we can't get away from it. That's not a bad thing, but it can also be a weighty thing. You are not your own. You belong to your faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. That's a key thing for That's a key thing for our calling, is that we belong to Jesus Christ. Not only you, but all of us who believe. That's a key thing. That's a wonderful gift. You also belong to your family, to your wife. And to have that time of rest, of rejuvenation, of celebrating with each other, the good gifts of marriage, of family, of fellowship, is important as well. As you continue in your calling as a minister of the word, continue to live into the fact that you are not your own, but you are loved by Jesus Christ. You belong body and soul to your faithful Savior, Jesus Christ, as much as you belong body and soul to your faithful wife and to your children. So give yourself as your Savior gave himself for you and for everyone that you serve. Continue to give yourself to him and trust in him, rely upon him. Because, you know, as you've shared some of your story, these words of Jesus, that not a hair can fall from my head without the will of my Father in heaven, you know that intimately, you know that well. You know that for your family, you know that for your parents. That God works his way as salvation through whatever happens, whatever comes. You know that well. So share these words of hope and of comfort. Continue to preach that gospel message powerfully. And as this answer clearly points out, it draws us to Jesus Christ, to the Heavenly Father, and to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit who guides our living. And as this question also draws out that, as the catechism clearly is laid out for us, it points us to our sin, our fallenness, our brokenness, our misery. But it also points to our salvation. Continue to powerfully preach that gospel message of salvation in Jesus Christ. Because it's only through that can we live a life of gratitude, of thankfulness, of service to him. We've been called to this beautiful ministry of service, of preaching salvation to people, including us, who are broken and sinful. And may God continue to powerfully work in you in that labor. Now, connected to that is Psalm 23. It's a psalm that we know well. When do we so often turn to this psalm? When do you often hear it? At a funeral. Why? Do you ever sit down and think, why does this psalm speak so powerfully at a funeral? Or when someone, a loved one, is dying? I now serve at Heritage Fellowship Christian Reformed Church, which is part of Holland Christian Homes. 1,100 old people. They're old. They don't feel old. and that's true. The volunteer rate is incredible. But people essentially go there to retire with the knowledge that they will die there. That's going to be their last home. Unless they move to a different long-term care facility. But they go there to die. In the last 4 months of working and serving there, I have shared Psalm 23 on several occasions. Because death is all around us. That's part of the ministry that I've been called into there. And some people ask, after I had engaged them a number of months ago, yeah, Holland Christian Homes is interested in me. Oh? You want to go there? Yeah, I think so. Well, you know what you're going into? Yeah, I think so. No, I don't. But I'll figure it out. And you go there, and yeah, you figure it out. And then I talk with my friends after a few months of being there, and they, so, how is it going? Do you like it? I love it. I'm so blessed to be there. It is, as I say, it's the best job ever. Because I get to share the words of salvation to people who know they are broken and want to confess their sin in order to reaffirm that salvation before they go to be with Jesus. Psalm 23 is one of these gifts that we get. Let me share this well-known psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely, goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So let me walk you through this psalm you know very well, but maybe today you will see this a little bit differently. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. Have you ever been in a place of want? Or have you received everything you need? People want a lot of things, but do they need them? Probably not. But for us, here, we have everything we need. And God has been good to us. He makes me lie down in green pastures. When you hear green pastures, what do you think of? The rolling hills of Uxbridge? Green? Because they are. In the hills around Bethlehem, how many of you have been to the hills of Bethlehem? They're pretty green, aren't they? They aren't. They're pretty brown. You have to go looking hard to find green grass. But those are green pastures. A couple years back with the pastors from Classes Toronto, from the Christian Reformed Church. Sorry, Doug. We got to walk on some of the hills, those green pastures of Bethlehem. And they're brown. They're stony. And when you get down low, you can see sprouts of grass, about yay high, 4 inches. That's green pastures. The sheep, the goats receive everything they need. Not everything they want, but everything they need. That area doesn't get a lot of rain. But what it does get is dew. On average, over an entire year, about 9 inches of dew. Enough to make sprouts of grass grow. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness. Now, this is where a picture would have been better. But the hills of Judea around Bethlehem, they're pretty big. Taller than the roof here, some of them. And these are the pastures that the shepherds would guide the sheep on. Now, when you see these hills for the first time, it's like, well, that's a hill. But with the trained eye, over a period of a few days or a few hours of looking at the hills of Bethlehem, you begin to see paths along the edge of the hill. Something like this. And they cover the entire hill. And along this path, there's grass that grows on either side. And then you have a steep drop off to the next one. The sheep and the goats spread out over this hill and walk along these paths. Do you know what these paths are called? I love this because I only discovered it 2 years ago. It's in the text. Paths of righteousness. He what? He guides me along paths of righteousness. The text here is different. Paths of righteousness. These are paths of righteousness with just enough grass for the sheep to take everything they need to get life, to be nourished. Not everything they want, because if they eat it down to the root, it would not come back. So the sheep, the goats, one munch, move on. One munch, move on. One munch, move on. Along these paths of righteousness. You know what happens when a sheep stays too long? The shepherd will urge the sheep to move along. You know what they'll use? Think David. What would they use? A slingshot. What happens if you hit one of your animals? What will happen? It'll jump, it'll move, it won't trust you anymore. So David learned to use a slingshot well enough so that he could get the stone close enough to the sheep or goat to encourage it to move along without hitting the sheep. Now that takes a bit of his skill because the shepherd is at the top of the hill watching over the sheep and looking to make sure that nothing bad is coming. He was pretty accurate. That's why he was able to hit Goliath in the forehead. Slingshot, paths of righteousness, move the sheep along so that they don't eat everything they want and thus have no food for the next day. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Our good shepherd does this for us as well. Moves us along so that we don't get stuck in a rut for too long. Continuing to follow paths of righteousness that lie before us. Moving from David to Jesus now as our good shepherd, we get to the next line. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Who has walked through the valley of the shadow of death and who understands it? This is a question I am asked more frequently now at Holland Christian Homes. What happens when I die? How does that work? I don't know. I've not died. In order for me to give a solid answer, I would have to die and come back to life in order to tell you what the process is like. They're alive, and then they're dead. In the blink of an eye, it happens that fast. One man has walked that path and has come back to life, and he's able to guide us through the valley of the shadow of death. This is where the words of comfort come, that we as ordained ministers get to share with those on their deathbed, to share with the families who gather around. The families who struggle, oh, I need to be there with them. How long do you wait at the bedside of a loved one? A couple of hours? 21 days? It's up to every person. But I tell them this, know this, especially the loved one who's dying, the mom or dad, aunt or uncle. Our good shepherd, Jesus, walks with us through the valley of the shadow of death because he's already done it and he knows. He is our good shepherd who guides us along that path of righteousness and gives us all we need as we go from this life into eternal life. The good shepherd is the one who guides us. Jesus walks with us one by one through that valley of the shadow of death to eternal life. We can't do that with our parents, with our child, with our loved one. Only Jesus can. For you are with me, your rod and your staff comfort me, guide me. And in the blink of an eye, we go from this life to eternal life. And what is before us? A banquet table. Who sits on the other side? My enemy. Did you catch that? You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Who's the enemy? Satan? Death? Sin? At a banquet table, we celebrate. We celebrate that death is no more, that sin has been defeated, that Satan is no more. This is a banquet table that is a foretaste of the heavenly banquet table. We come to this table not sad and quiet. We come celebrating because death is no more. Because Jesus, our good shepherd, has walked with us through life, through death, to this banquet table where we can say, praise God, from whom all blessings flow. You have won the victory, and I need not fear no more. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the heavenly house of the Lord forevermore. A foreshadow of John 14, where Jesus tells his disciples, he comforts his disciples, I'm going to a place to prepare a home for you, a mansion, an apartment. And if I go there, I will come back to bring you to be with me forever. Thomas asks, Lord, we don't know the way. Jesus responds and says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus will guide us. Our good shepherd will guide us through life into death. This is, Doug, the good news that you get to share, that we get to share with the flock that Jesus has given to you, to us, to share these words of salvation, these words of comfort, these words of hope. We don't have the answers. If you're looking for a pastor that has answers, you're not going to find a pastor because they don't have the answers. God's word has more questions than answers. But these are some of the words of hope that I've encountered over the last number of years and have certainly had the privilege of applying in the last few months more often than I have in the last 10 years at Hollow Marsh. Yesterday morning, I got a phone call at 6 o'clock. Bella, good Italian lady, 91, taking her last breaths. As of this morning, she was still taking those last breaths. But I was able to share this with the family and then call in a Catholic priest to do the sacrament of the sick, or what we would call last rites. Words of comfort to share with children and grandchildren and a great-grandchild who had gathered around Bella's bedside. Bella's mind didn't work the same way as it used to. Dementia had kicked in. In fact, Bella would stand beside Graziano, her husband, or would sit in her wheelchair beside Graziano in his wheelchair, and they wouldn't know each other. And they live on the same floor, just across the hall from each other. But they don't know each other as husband and wife. 91, 92 years old. They've been married for 70 years, but didn't recognize each other as husband and wife. Jesus recognizes them as his sheep. That's the hope, that's the comfort we all get to share with those whose minds are not working the same way, whose bodies are breaking. What a powerful, what an incredible gift. We get to share this now as we take in Jesus, as we receive him for strength along the road, along the paths of righteousness, as we journey through the season of Lent, anticipating with great joy Good Friday as we pause in the darkness and anticipate the light of Easter Sunday, when Jesus bursts forth from the grave. Let's pray as we prepare to go to the table. Almighty and gracious God, you are good. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your promises. Thank you for the hope that we receive. Lord, as we do gather, we recognize that, yes, we are broken people who live in a broken world, surrounded by tragedy and hurt, pain and loss, disease and war, divorce, and death. As we gather, O Lord, help us to rest upon you as the Good Shepherd who guides us and walks with us, who gives us everything we need, who lays before us green pastures, even though we may not recognize it as a green pasture. Open our eyes to see it. Sometimes the still waters take a very long time to flow, but when they do, let us drink deeply. Lord, as we gather here this morning, we recognize that disease has come very close to us. COVID-19 is now on our doorstep here in York Region. Lord, we pray for patience, for understanding, as we will have to face different lifestyle choices because of this virus. Lord, help us not be afraid, but to be vigilant in what we need to do to keep clean. To not be afraid of people of different skin color, or different ethnic backgrounds, but to look at them as you look at them, image bearers of you. So Lord, encourage us as we continue to live out for you in our daily lives. Bless us on this day, a day of rest. Bless us as we prepare for a week of labor, of work, of serving you in the church, different jobs that you give to us, in school, in retirement, in our homes, in activities and ministries. Lord, you watch over us and you bless us abundantly, and our cup does overflow, and we say thank you to you. Lord, as we now go to the table that has been prepared for us, guide our hearts and our minds as we receive the gift of bread and juice, the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, to physically and spiritually nourish us for the journey ahead. This we pray in Jesus' name, and all of God's children say, Amen. I invite the elders to come and sit at the front there. Or the servers, whoever, however you do that. Well, you get to stand with me. That's how you do it. Okay. This is great. I know Doug doesn't use a form. I use parts of a form. Usually I use a full form because the form is not just a couple years old. It's 2,000 years old in some of the words that are drawn out from it. People loved by our Lord Jesus Christ, the Gospels tell us that on the first day of the week, the day on which our Lord rose from the dead, he appeared to some of his disciples and was made known to them in the breaking of bread. Let us come to the joyful feast of our Lord. Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it. And he said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup after the supper, and he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Let us pray. And we'll conclude by saying the Lord's Prayer. I don't know which words you use, but in mine it says debts and debtors. So, but you pray however you need to pray in whatever language you need to pray. Let us pray. Lord our God, send your Holy Spirit so that this bread and cup may be for us the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. May we and all your saints be united with Christ and remain faithful in hope and love. Gather your whole church, O Lord, into the glory of your kingdom. We pray in the name of Jesus who taught us to pray, saying, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." The table is set. Jesus invites us to gather round, to tuck in, and to dine with him, to dine upon him. Everyone who loves Jesus and trusts in him for their salvation, everyone who is sorry for their sins, everyone who sincerely believes in the Lord Jesus as their Savior and who desire to live in obedience to him, you are invited to come with gladness to the table of the Lord. The gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Take, eat, remember and believe that the body of our Lord Jesus Christ was given for the complete forgiveness of all of our sins. I don't know what you experience when you eat the bread, but this kind of bread has a sweetness to it when you begin to chew it. Did you notice? A sweetness. Sweetness of the gospel. Maybe yours was a little bit of salt. The salt of the earth. We are called to be salt and light. The next time you eat a piece of bread, let it sit there for a minute. Let the senses enjoy it, to remind you of the sweetness of Jesus and the sacrifice that he gave for us. Just as the sweetness of the wine, of the juice, if it was bitter, that would excite some of our tastes as well. But when we take the juice, when I invite you to take it, be sensitive to that. Take, drink, remember, and believe that the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ was shed for the complete forgiveness of all of our sins. Let me lead you in prayer. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And you have fed us with spiritual food and the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart. Through Christ our Lord, and all of God's children say, amen.